to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience ends.
Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good afternoon and evening. It's been a while since we've been on the air, but finally back after a couple of weeks off. One because of illness and one because of conventions, but this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. And I'm the lonely host they call The Surfer. And they call me that because I am a huge Silver Surfer fan. And I'm here to talk comic books, a little New York Comic Con, and a little news after that. So, and I'll take calls, of course, if you want to join me on Skype and discuss comic books with me. You can call me on Skype at SilverSurfer_Forever. That is my Skype name until I get a phone number and I can take phone calls. And I do understand it's football season, so I don't always expect to hear from people this time of the year, but my show has to go on. And this is on rantemradio.com, and of course you can listen quite a few ways. You can listen live in that chat room where you can ask me questions and make constructive comments. You can also listen live on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or you can listen on a download, Podbean or iTunes, whatever's convenient for you. Either way you do listen, I thank you for listening. Makes me feel loved and cared about. So, let's see what's in the box office this week. And Blade Runner's been out for 2 weeks now, and it's in second place this week. Last week it was in first place. It added $15 million to its domestic total. Its gross domestic total is $60 million. It does have a budget of $150. It may not reach that domestically, but as far as worldwide numbers, we add in the overseas total is up to $158 million. So Blade Runner won't be the flop that the original one was. Unfortunately, even though now it's considered a great movie, its original run in the box office didn't do all that great as far as recouping his money back. Because, at that time, when it came out, there was other blockbusters coming out. I believe that was the same year as E.T. The early 80s, it's all blurred to me as far as when these movies came out, because I saw them all, and, as far as other comic book related movies, Kingsman, after 4 weeks, has dropped down to 7th place, added $5.3 million to its total of $89 million. Now, the budget on it was $104, and of course, the overseas market is made it ahead at $286 million, but even at 89, it may just reach that 104 number domestically. I mean, people thought it was going to come up short, but it's slowly inching, you know, maybe another week or two. Depends on what else comes out. And, you know, we got a few weeks before Thor Ragnarok, so. The Lego Ninjago movie dropped down to 8th place this week with a $4.3 million. It's a domestic total of $51 million. It does not give the budget, because they probably realized they shouldn't have released it in the theaters. But you add in the foreign totals, the worldwide total is $96 million for a movie that probably should have went straight to DVD. The My Little Pony, the movie, is down to 9th place after 2 weeks. The Brony community is not coming out strong. It added $4 million for its total of $15 million. And I don't know if My Little Pony has a strong, no, it doesn't have a strong worldwide thing, because it's only $26 million worldwide, because it's only added $10 million on the foreign market. Now, it might not have opened in a lot of places, and it may not open in a lot of places because it is My Little Pony. That probably didn't need to be opened in the theaters either. And the last movie I'm going to report on, which I saw this week, and I should do a review since I did see it this week, Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman opened in 14th place this week. It only brought in $737,000. Now, it's not playing in many markets, but it's still kind of low, considering it didn't break $1 million. But it still could be opening in theaters around the country. I don't think every location has opened it yet, but it did open here. And let me do a review on it. I need to bring up some information. I should have been prepared for this. It kind of slipped my mind that I was going to try to do a review. And that's the way my slow mind works. I don't always prepare like I'm supposed to. It's a flaw. It's my weakness. I got other superhero weaknesses, but if I told you, then I would be defeated every time as a superhero. So I can't tell you what my main weakness is, because one day somebody will use it against me, and then, you know, I do not want that together. So we had TV shows come back on this week. The Arrowverse come back on. Supergirl came on Monday. Tuesday was the return of The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. And then on a new day and time, The Arrow came on Thursday at 9 p.m. In addition to that, last week we had the return of Once Upon a Time on a new night of Friday, 8 p.m. You know, if you didn't want the show, you could have just canceled it. But, you know, they didn't want to just flat out cancel it. So they moved it to a time they know people most likely wouldn't watch it. So then they can, I guess, have a justification. But I really don't know what the numbers are for that particular show yet. But it did return last week. Now that I've wasted enough time, let's talk about Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. This is the story of psychologist William Moulton Marston, who had a polyamorous relationship with his wife and his mistress. He created, of course, the Wonder Woman character, and he was also responsible for creating the lie detector. And, of course, his lifestyle was pretty controversial back in the day, which he lived it, along with his women. Now, the director was Angela Robinson. She also wrote the story. And I think she's a L... I'm, you know I'm going to mess this up. L, G, TB. Person, and of course, you know, death. It's kind of like that movie, but it's also not as far as it goes. Here we go. So, the main character is played by Luke Evans. He plays William Moulton Morrison, who's a college professor, and he works for Princeton, and he has his wife, Elizabeth Marston, played by Rebecca Hall, who's just as smart as her husband, but because she's a woman, you know, she can't get her doctorate, and, you know, the school won't let her. She's kind of forced to just sit in the his class and help him with his lessons. And, you know, they're looking for an assistant because, you know, one of the things that Professor Marston is, you know, trying to teach is about, you know, willingly submit and how that, by willingly submit to some, to a loving authority, you are most happy in life. And he calls it the DISP theory, and, you know, it had to do with, you know, dominance and compliance, you know, range between it. And he talks about if you're compliant, you're not as happy, because you're not willingly doing it, you're just doing it, and so on. So, and no one's buying his books, because, you know, it's the 30s, and, you know, nobody cares about that kind of stuff. And he's trying to make the lie detector work, and he just can't get it right so that, you know, you can tell if somebody's lying. And then they take on an assistant played by, excuse me, Bella Hico. She plays Oliver Byrne. And you probably, the last movie I remember seeing her in was that Dark Shadows movie. And, you know, she plays a young college student, and, you know, she's looked upon as being, like, beautiful, and you know, they're just observing her as to, like, how, you know, the men just want to be with her so bad, and the women around her, they kind of have a disdain for her because she is so good-looking, and, you know, and Luke Evans, he just zeroed in on it. He wants her. And at first, Rebecca Hall's like, well, you know, that's what you want. You know, I'm your wife. I'm not your jailer. And they take her on as an assistant. And then Rebecca Hall, she's this type. She says what she wants. She says what's on her mind. And she just straight up tell her, look, don't have sex with my husband. And that hurts Olive. And she's like, look, well, you know, I changed my mind about how I feel. But they somehow convinced her to come back. It turns out, because of her, they get the lie detector to work because they notice something about when she lies. And they figure out that they can read that. And that's how they figure out to make it work. But in doing so, they start to discover, well, the husband, you know, he's straight up, look, she looked good, I want her. And the wife is starting to have a problem with this, but it turns out Olive wants the wife. And so, you know, it's a package deal. And then they get into this relationship with this student. And it's cool for a while, but then, you know, things happen in their lives. You know, this is the late 30s, and, you know, having that kind of relationship, you know, it gets around, it gets out, and all of a sudden they find themselves in situations where they don't no longer have the means of working, and they got to find new ways of earning income, and you know, Professor Morrison, he's like, you know, he likes to explore things about sex, and he discovers about bondage and so on. And he gets them into it, and he, you know, and through that, he comes up with the idea of the Wonder Woman character, because he feels that the two of them together makes up the perfect woman. You know, what he likes about his wife, and what he likes about the woman in his life. And the movie plays out where it's kind of like a flashback, because it starts off with him being brought in front of this parent commission because they want to get Wonder Woman off the shelves. Because, you know, those early Wonder Woman books, if you, you know, look at it, it had a lot of, like, bondage and spankings and, you know, all that stuff he was into. He put that into the books, you know, submission and dominance and so on. And they just thought that was a bad influence on the kids. And they wanted the book, you know, shut down. And even Oliver Platt's in this. He's like running what is now DC Comics at the time, you know, when Marston Wooden said, hey, you know, got this idea for this female superhero. And he's straight up saying, yeah, I want to influence the kids. They, you know, I'm not trying to hide anything from them. And, you know, so that's the extent of his relationship with these two women. Now, I wasn't sure what I was getting into when I was watching this movie. Because first, I thought it was going to be a documentary. Then I watched the trailer and I find out it's a real biopic. And I don't know how much is actual truth and so on. But the movie is very entertaining. And it pulls no punches as far as their physical relationship with the three of them. And, you know, when they start getting involved with that and, you know, the relationship they have going forward as far as the family unit is concerned, you know, kids and all that stuff. And, you know, they go through bumps in the roads and so forth, but, you know, this was the lifestyle this man had. And, you know, even today, some people may think that's crazy. Some people are like, what they call that's I would love to be in that kind of situation myself. But, and I highly recommend you go see this movie in the theaters if you get it. I give it a full price. I mean, it is definitely you know, I heard somebody else say it's second best Wonder Woman movie of the year. And it is it's up there as far as one of my top movies of the year and one of my top comic book movies of the year. And I consider it a comic book movie because it's about the creation of Wonder Woman as a character and so on. So, if it's open in your neighborhood, your city, your state, municipal, county, whatever, go see it this week. And if it hasn't opened yet, go see it when it do. And then, of course, for anybody that don't get a chance to see it because it never opens where they live, you know, as soon as it's available, Netflix, DVD, digital demand, you'll want to watch this movie. It's a pretty well-made movie. And you got to give the director and /writer the credit for making it work. The chemistry between Luke Evans and Rebecca Hall is, you know, a married couple. They seem like, you know, as a couple, they know what they like about each other. You know, you get why they're together. You know, it's they're equal as far as mental capacity. That's the best way to put it. And at the same time, you know, they generally like and love each other. But, you know, someone else comes in the picture and it wasn't a thing where, you know, he was cheating on his wife or anything. It all went down with the three of them. So that's all I'm gonna say about Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. I don't know who's in the chat room. You're in the chat room listening live. Hello. So, man, let's see. Let's see. I guess the next movie will be either Thor Ragnarok or, which I'll probably do a separate review for that, and then or Batman versus Two-Face whenever that's available on digital demand, which I think should be soon because it did debut at Comic-Con. So Let's see what news we have out of Comic Con from last week. It took place in New York. Man, Comic Con is just bigger and bigger. And hey, for all those who live in Philadelphia, like myself, well, New York Comic Con is coming to Philadelphia next year. Could be opening up a convention in Philadelphia next September. It's called Keystone Comic Con. So I'm excited to have a new con come to my city, and it just may be, if you can't get a ticket to New York, then get that ticket for Philadelphia and we can hang out and, you know, take you to a place to get you a good cheesesteak or something. Get some drinks, you know. Maybe we all can get together in a hotel and have that kind of a party. Just kidding. Anyway, where is the New York news? Let's start with that first. There's some news from last week, I didn't talk about because I was not on the air. You know, Marvel Legacy is in full swing now. You know, they're bringing back the old numbering. They're bringing back old favorites. Marvel Legacy came out a couple of weeks ago, and one of the returns they had was good old Wolverine himself. So you got the new Wolverine, and you got the regular Wolverine, and you got the old man Logan. And that's going to be something when they all get together. Now, how long they keep old man Logan, that's going to be a different thing, because now that they brought back Wolverine, you know, they may do some kind of story where old man Logan bites the bullet, finally. Because he is an old man. And, of course, they had a panel that talked about Jean Grey coming back. And, let's see. And, hold on. They talk about, with the Marvel Legacy, a Cable arc from Brinson, which kicks off at issue 150. The installment will see fan-favorite Gunslinger form a new team of New Mutants consisted of Blink, Longshot, Shatterstar, Dupe, Armor, and X-23. And then they went on to tease a new Old Man Logan story that will reteam the old Knucklehead. I always wonder if I said that right. With Hawkeye in a showdown against the Maestro. Next, the Elder Wolverine will cross paths with the Scarlet Samurai and a mysterious new character important to Logan's past. He'll also face off against the Silver Samurai. So next, the writer of Old Man Hawkeye discussed the upcoming revival of the blind post-apocalyptic character in a story that Alonzo compares to Better Call Saul comic book stories. What's going on? Who's messaging me and why? No, that's not a message. Okay. And then we get to the Phoenix Resurrection. And it says here that next up, the big talk of the panel, Phoenix Resurrection, is drawing a roar of cheers and applause to the audience in a number of the series covers, and its variants was shown, boasting several characters gone all Phoenix. You would cry, tease Alonzo. That's X Alonzo, who is the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. Then it was discussed the importance of Jean Grey number 8, which will kick off an arc that has time displaced mutants enter the mind of Emma Frost to find the key to the Phoenix Force. In doing so, she'll live much of the events of Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely's new X-Men saga. And then Peter Milligan's Legion was teased. The first story arc was a schizophrenic mutant deal with one of his personalities consumed by other personalities, leading to him bringing Psychopatrick literally into the mind and figure in it all out, and that's going to be a miniseries. I should have got to that point. And Kelly Thompson and P.A. Perez Rogue and Gambit miniseries is also coming out. And then X-Men Grand Design, and I believe that's with Chris Claremont. And let's see, I think I'm done with that story. And then what's next? So I was in New York. It says that the Doomsday Clock story is going to be a mature reader, so you know, don't let your kids read it. And what's the story? Elon says here. Hold on. Okay. It says, in addition to introducing the Watchmen characters to the DC Universe, Doomsday Clock will venture into another area no in-continuity Superman story has previously treaded. It will be the first mainstream DC Universe event series to feature R-rated language. Uh-oh. Superman gonna say shit and fucking. I guess he's gonna curse. So perhaps not quite R-rated, but it certainly gave readers pause to see the word shit claimed not once but twice in the preview. Oh, he is saying oh shit, oh shit. Oh, Superman, you're letting me down. He's supposed to be pure blue and so forth. You know, if you curse, then what's to stop me from cursing? It says, while Jeff Johns didn't address the first issue language during the Doomsday Clock Spotlight panel at New York Comic Con, he did hint at the potential of another adults-only aspect of the Watchmen making it through to Doomsday Clock story. Namely, Dr. Manhattan's tendency to walk around in the nude. So, you know, his thing-a-ling, it's going to be hanging out, and who knows, maybe in the DC Universe it's bigger or smaller, depends, because I would think you'd have control on the size of it. How naked is Dr. Manhattan, was asked at the panel, and the Magician's author Lynn Grossman asked. Johns didn't answer outright, and the answer is most likely no, we are not going to see full frontal nudity in Superman comic. But did point out that there are times that where he's naked and at times he's not naked in Watchmen, so can follow the rule book. Oh, come on, why is this page doing this to me? My ad block is betraying me. Let's see. Don't. Hey, gets the page here. Guy's saying, oh shit. Well, maybe Superman won't curse. So, that gives me hope for the future for our children. Because Superman start cursing, then what else is there? And of course, if you want, you can read the first six pages of the Watchmen Superman event online. You can go to comic book. Comicbookreader.com, CBR.com, I'm saying. And speaking of Superman, the Justice League trailer was debuted, where you see Clark in the trailer. It looked like a little dream sequence that Lois is having, where Clark isn't dead and in the field, and talking to Lois Lane, talking about, yes, I guess you wearing that ring mean that you will marry me. We all know Superman's coming back in Justice League, but they haven't shown us in it's shown him as Superman yet, so they probably shouldn't. Now, let that be a surprise. Whether he comes back in his blue suit or the black suit, like when he came back in the comic book, we'll find out. And that's going to be opening in about a month. You know, I do have my fingers crossed it's going to be a good movie. You know, I don't know if it's going to be bad. I mean, I've seen some things in earlier trailers that didn't get me excited about the Justice League, but I want to be excited. I want to love this like I do all comic book. I want to love all comic book movies. You know, I want that. And the reason why I'm like that is because that feeling I had when I saw Superman the movie as a kid. And it was just like, at that time, my favorite movie. It was like, there's no movie better than this. I just, you know, I had to see it again. And, you know, since then, that's the kind of feeling like when I go see a comic book movie. You know, I wanted to be, you know, wondrous. I want it to be fantastic. I want to, you know, I done with the trying to explain it, but anyway. Now, we know Disney owns half of the world. You know, they own Star Wars. They own Marvel. They own Pixar. They own TV stations like ABC and ESPN, and they just own a lot. And so, by owning all these things, you would think, okay, well, they own a comic book company because they own Marvel, that, you know, their comic books would come out in Marvel. But says here, IDW is going to publish the Big Hero 6 comic. Which IDW has published these books? Not the Big Hero 6, but, you know, the, you know, Disney comics in the past. And it says, at the years away, the Big Hero 6 team will return to comic books, but not where you might expect. Because originally, Big Hero 6 was a Marvel idea. And Pixar took it and changed the characters. And made it different. This is IDW Publishing announced both on Facebook and Saturday Night Panel that it will publish comic books starting in 2018 based on the upcoming Big Hero 6 animated series on Disney XD. No creative team or release date has yet been announced. The series is still in development, but publishers promises more detail in the near future. So this is a surprise move since Big Hero 6 character originated in Marvel Comics, created by Steven T. Siegel, and Duncan Rolu, and first seen in 1998, Sunfire and the Big Hero 6 number 1. The characters have been starring in a comic book series since the 2008 Big Hero 6 miniseries, and last appeared in a small role in the 2002 Amazing Spider-Man story, End of the Earth. In 2004, Disney Big Hero 6 animated feature adapted the characters to the big screen, but was billed secretly as a Disney production with the Marvel logo not appearing in the film marketing. The movie was a hit, and critics and fans, I do love that movie, winning an Academy Award for Best Animated Feature and grossing $657 million worldwide. Marvel did not release any tie-in comics related to the film. The Big Hero 6 animated series does not currently have a release date, but expected to debut before the end of the year. I'm waiting for that cartoon to come on TV so I can set it on the DVR. Let's see, what else? What else is new? I think I just closed the wrong browser. Yep, I sure did, dummy. Oh, you big dummy, you. I want to know the truth, people. Did y'all miss me? Yes, okay. I mean, you know, I do this because I don't have a lot of friends out there. And I want friends. I want to make friends. I want to make other comic book reader friends, so... That's all I'm doing this for. Yeah, let's see. Just give me a second. Where's Stanley? He's not in the chat room. He must be on the run from Interpol today, you know. He is an international criminal. He doesn't like me telling the world this, but you know, he does all those high class art robberies and so forth, and he stays under the radar because nobody would think he is into that. And you know, he has his perversions, which I try to convince him not to talk to me about it, but But he's still my friend. So. All right, we're almost there, people. Almost there. I don't know who listens to this podcast that also listens to DoubleToasted.com, but I will be at their New York show on November 4th, so we can meet up and go from there. I don't have any other news as far as New York Comic Con is concerned. Well, I do a little bit. Sorry. So Constantine, who had his own TV show and has been part of his different DC animated movie features and so forth, and has made an appearance on the CW Arrow, is confirmed for Legends of Tomorrow Season 3. And Matt Ryan will indeed reprise his role as John Constantine in the live action, no less, in the upcoming third season of DC's Legends of Tomorrow. This revelation arrives in a Rotten Tomatoes interview with showrunner Phil Kilmer, who rattled off some of the Waywriter crew upcoming adventures and name-dropped DC Comics' infamous magician in the process. And I'm looking forward to that. I was hoping somebody was going to pick up the Constantine series on another network, because it was after you watch the pilot, which isn't that great. The rest of the season was really good, and I know everybody who did watch it seemed to enjoy immensely, because it like got better. But oh, what's wrong with my thing? Anyway, so let's hope it comes back. And of course, they're also doing to get you to watch the CW Seed Constantine animated series. And, well, my one problem with the CWCs is they're like 3 to 5 minute episodes, and I'd rather they put some effort into giving us some half-hour episodes, or at least 1 hour-long episode, instead of these little quickies that don't last 30 minutes. It says, John Constantine smokes a cigar, too, and uses some mild profanity in the action-filled look at his upcoming animated series from CWC. It debuted at New York Comic Con, and of course Matt Ryan does the voice of the animated John Constantine, as well as playing the live-action version, and he returns to his role as the fan-favorite magician and con man. Constantine certainly appears to be in classic form as in the sneak peek he's involved in several demons to unconsecrated church under false pretenses, naturally where they're to be feasted on by something else. I did look at the little clip, and it's by Warner Brothers and Blue Ribbon Content, and let's see, how many episodes is it going to be? Let's see, does it say? I don't know. And of course, he was pretty good in the Justice League Dark animated feature. And he has even shown up on Justice League Action. So. Now, if you're reading Black Panther, you know the writer of that series is Ta-Nehisi Coates, who is author. He's a writer, not just a comic book writer, but he also writes in magazines and so forth. And he's been writing the Black Panther series since it returned after Secret Wars. Well, now he's going to do a Storm comic. Well, he teases a Storm comic. It says, since debuting in 2015, Black Panther writer Ta-Nehisi, I hope I'm saying his name right, Coates, has made effort to mend the relationship between the titles, characters, and the X-Men Storm after their marriage ended, which I thought never should have happened. That pissed me off that they had this beautiful wedding and then just worked at destroying their relationship. And then after they break up, she gets with that old funky Wolverine. And he told her, look, don't do him. And of course, they have been together. They kind of reunited in his book, and they were part of the Black Panther and the crew. But now appears that Coates, an acclaimed author and journalist, may be working on an actual Storm comic. And it says, while at Newark Comic Con this weekend, which was last weekend, Coates tweeted an image of a commission of the X-Men drawn by Gene Bartel, who's done work for Marvel, including a recent cover for America. Hope y'all reading America, people. So, if it's true and he is going to do a Storm series, I will support it. You know, they've been trying to make Storm, you know, give her a solo series, because it's kind of strange. She is probably the most popular female character in Marvel and has been so for several years, because, you know, a lot of people grew up on the X-Men cartoon and read the X-Men for years and years, and they never had another female character with the popularity. But excuse me, I'm coughing and I have cough drops. I need to take one. But, you know, as far as solo goes, it's just never happened like it should. And maybe they're, you know, going to try to do it this time. And, while I look for my newly bought cough drops, you got to ask, have y'all seen The Gifted yet? I think I might have talked about it a couple weeks ago. I thought that at least the pilot was good. I have not watched episode 2 yet. And of course, it's ghosted on television, which I think is pretty well done. And I'm digging the Orville. You know, I know a lot of people had a problem with the Orville because it's not the straight up comedy that they thought it was going to be, but it's real smart in its storytelling. And they getting some topics that are not necessarily funny, but you know, it's a thing where they, you know, they're on the ship, but they don't act all stoic. You know, they talk normal and they crack jokes and they do silly things to each other, but they still get into dangerous situations and find themselves in ethical positions where, like last week's episode, you know, they have the enemies called the Krill, and they don't know much about them. They just know they're at war with them, and they go aboard a Krill ship with using this technology to disguise themselves, because, you know, this race that they are constantly beefing with, you know, they're highly religious, so they wanted to get an idea of what's in their religion, and their religion, come to find out, it tells them they need to wipe everybody out. And then they discover that the ship that they're on, they got this doomsday device they're working on. And the easy thing would be is just to make it blow up on the ship and kill everybody. But there's a situation where the ship has children on board, and you know, they have a problem. They don't want to kill children. They're stuck in a situation. If they don't do nothing, then there's a colony that has children along with men and women. They're going to get wiped out. So they have to find a solution where they stop the ship and not necessarily kill the kids. And they end up figuring out what to do, where they kill everybody in the crew except for the children. And then, you know, one adult survives who was like friends with them when they thought they were all the same. And later on, she, you know, she's telling them, look, she asks him, why did you spare the children? And he tells them, because they're children. You know, I'm not at war with children. And she tells him, well, because of your actions, they will grow up to be at war with you. And it just leaves you like, damn, you just can't win in any situation. So. Now, last Monday, you know, they did it again. 2 weeks, 2 years ago, they did it, and they did it again. They debuted the full-on Star Wars trailer during a Monday Night Football game, which, of course, tickets were supposed to go on sale immediately following the debut of the trailer, and they debuted it at halftime of last week's Monday Night Football on ESPN. Of course, they're owned by Disney. And the tickets were on sale before the trailer debuted, because I had my ticket a good, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes before the trailer actually came up. I don't know who jumped the gun or why, but yeah, the tickets were on sale. And I know some places it was like sold out in no time, and some places still not sold out. And what they're doing is for the first showing, you have a choice. Like the regular showing around the country, well, I can tell you about East Coast time. I don't know about, I guess they all line up that they'll start at the same time, not necessarily at that time West Coast, you know. So if it's 9, like they're having a 9:30 showing. That's supposed to be technically the first showing of the movie, like in IMAX and so forth. So I'm assuming Central will be 8:30, 7:30, 6:30, not make everybody wait to 9:30 in their time zone. Now, the other formats, like the regular and the 3D, you know, they start a little bit earlier. And, you know, places that have other large format screens like RPX and I think AMC has like Dolby Cinema, and the other place has XD or something like that. Well, that's going to start around 7. But as far as an earlier time in IMAX, like, they're doing it two ways. They're doing a fan event. Now, some places are doing a fan event in IMAX, and some are doing it in the other digital format, like like Regal, the other large format that they can't call it IMAX, because IMAX is a copyrighted name. They're doing a fan event, and that's about $36, where you get to see the movie around 6 o'clock, and with the movie, they're going to show you some extra footage. I don't know if it's extra in the movie or just some making of stuff, and they give you trading cards, a few packs of trading cards, and they'll give you popcorn soda combo with the cup you can keep. That's around $36. And then some theaters are doing a double feature in addition to the fan event. Now, whoever's doing the double feature, that's going to be an IMAX only. Where if you're doing IMAX double feature, then the fan event is going to take place in the other large format screen. But the double feature is going to show Force Awakens, which starts around 3 o'clock, and then they're going to show, you know, The Last Jedi, which is going to start at 6 at about the same time. It's going to start for the fan events. And they're going to give you everything that the fan event is going to give you, the cards and the popcorn and soda and all the other stuff, and you get to see the extra stuff. And that's an additional $4 more at $40. So a lot of those tickets were on sale. Most people went for the 9:30. Because they didn't want to spend the extra money. Now, I got the fan event, because I figured, okay, even if I just spent $20 for IMAX, by the time I get there and buy a popcorn soda, it's going to cost me about the same amount anyway. And for a few dollars more, I'm getting a little bit extra. So, I mean, even if I got a small popcorn soda, that's going to be about $12, $13. So, it just didn't make any sense to I just thought, you know, I might as well just get the money for the full thing. So, you know, I wonder how many of y'all got your tickets right away and how many just going to wait a few days or whatever. You know, if you like me, you know, I got to be first in line. I got to brag about how I saw it first, and you can't spoil it for me. And I doubt they're going to screen it for the public, because they didn't screen Force Awakens, because people are going to see this movie anyway. Now, whether it makes the kind of money Force Awakens make, who knows? Usually a Star Wars movie, it makes a lot of money, and then the second movie comes out, it doesn't make as much money. So there's a drop-off. Some people are like, well, I didn't really care for that, and they don't come back. But the rabbit fans do come back. Now, it's a question, how many people will decide they're not coming back because, you know, they didn't like the fact that basically Force Awakens was just a retelling of A New Hope, and which I've already said, it's also retelling Phantom Menace. All those three movies are the same story. And, you know, people, there's a lot of people that grew up on Phantom Menace and loved that movie, but it's the same story as A New Hope. So, and they don't get upset with that. Okay, did I miss a call? Let's see. I think I missed a call. Let's see. I did miss a call. Let me get them on. See if I can get them back on. I apologize. Hopefully they still via their computer and they'll see me calling them. I think I got them back. Mr. Hightower, can you hear me? I guess you can hear me, but there's something wrong with the audio, so. Oh, man. Time has flown. I still haven't even got to the regular news yet. So this may be an extra long show. The New Mutants trailer dropped this week, which, you know, the word was they were going to make this into like a horror movie, and the trailer do not fail on that. It does look like a horror movie. Now, whether it's going to be scary or not, who knows? All right, I lost him. Let's try him again. And back to Star Wars real quick.
Hello?
Hello. Just one sec. The Last Jedi trailer was viewed over 100...
Something wrong with my...
No, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Just real quick. The Last Jedi was viewed 120.1 million times in 24 hours. I did click on it a couple of times myself. But anyway.
Oh, man. Hold on. Before it back, that damn trailer looked real good.
Yeah, it did. Now, I ain't gonna lie, though. He did look like the Empire was striking back there a little bit.
I think I viewed it like 10 times.
But it looked good. Now, I'm quite sure there is gonna be some Empire Strike Back elements in the film.
Of course.
And like I was watching another podcast on YouTube where they pointed out, like, they showed the picture from The Last Jedi where you see the line of AT-ATs, and then you see it from Empire Strikes Back in the snow planet. And it's almost a similar thing, but it's still similar. But anyway, what makes you call in today?
Oh, man, I haven't called in a while. You
know, football season.
I've been busy. Football season, I've been busy.
Well, I got the game on in the background. I'm hoping that, you know, Pittsburgh puts a number on KC. Because KC,
you know,
they don't match up well against Pittsburgh for some reason.
Yeah,
I hope it holds up.
But I've been real busy.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that. But I wanted to call in, man, just shoot the shit with you.
Cool.
Talk about comic books.
Cool. You read anything lately?
Yeah, I read The White Knight. Did you get that?
No, you know, I haven't even read that.
Come on,
I haven't even read that. I got that Flash book I haven't even read yet. The Middle Night with the Flash. I still haven't read that.
Wow.
I can't read but so much.
You haven't got the White Knight?
No.
Well, you know what it's about, right? It's about Joker turning good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's written by...
That ain't gonna last long.
Oh, no, it's a miniseries. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I think it's 7 to 8 books. And you do want me to spoil the story? Well, it starts off with Joker going around the city doing the usual Joker things. But Batman, for some reason, Batman is going like fucking crazy. And want to catch him and all this stuff. So, you know, the usual Batman and Joker thing going on. But this time, Joker, he's tired of it. So, what happened? I don't want to pull it out. But it's more of Joker. We don't know if he's bad or good. Mm-hmm. Because, like, he started,
Is he taking on a bad Batman in this book?
Yeah, he's taking on a bad Batman.
That's why No,
he's taking on a good Batman, but some of the people in the city thinks that Batman is a bad guy.
Okay. Well,
so they playing on that.
That's not nothing new. But if Batman isn't a bad guy, then the Joker is not being a good guy. If he's going after Batman.
Hold on. Listen to this. So when he catch him, he said, I'm sick and tired of chasing you. I'm sick and tired of this. We need to end this. And then he was like, you know what? I will end it. And then he took Batman stuffed a bunch of pills in his mouth. And then Joker completely stopped being Joker.
Oh, okay. So he's chemically changed.
Yeah, he completely stopped being Joker, and now he's like a lawyer.
That won't last long.
And he's going after Batman.
That won't last long.
Oh, you should read it. It's so inspired.
I hope I read it. I'm just saying.
Joker being a
good guy.
See, Joker, what I'm thinking, Joker is going to be a bad guy, but in a lawyer sense.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think.
Since when does he know law? He's more of a...
No, in the book, it shows him reading a whole lot of law books and trying to convince the city that Batman is the bad guy. Batman has teared up this whole city, and, you know, he shouldn't be the Batman. Yeah, you know, he shouldn't be tearing up the city. It costs us millions.
That does.
You know?
Doesn't Bruce Wayne pay for his damages?
Yeah, but he really want to stick it to him.
I can't see that. I can't count that as being a good guy. Then.
Oh, man, that's good.
You know, maybe when I read it, you know, maybe what you're saying is true. But,
it's a good book. And then I'm still reading Metal, too.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Metal. It's kind of falling off. I mean, there's some good parts to it, but... It's a whole lot of shit going on to that damn book. It's like the crisis. It's like the two world crisis. It's just like that. Like I said, it was gonna be.
Man, I'm gonna try to read the Superman Doomsday Clock.
I was gonna get that too. You know, I actually missed out on getting the comics from the Flash and the Batman.
Well, it's out on...
Them motherfuckers is worth money.
It's out on,
No, but I actually wanted the comic book because it was worth money. I missed out on that.
What's money?
Have you seen the Batman cover where he holds up the little what's the name of that damn? The Watchman... smiley face thing.
The button, yeah.
That's worth some money right now.
Well, how much money? Like over 100, under 100?
I think it's over 100. The last time I checked.
That won't last.
That won't last. Okay.
I mean, right now you can get paid for it. You know, do you? But yeah. Books like that, they won't stay. I mean, they when a book shoot up that high that fast, it'll drop after a while.
It won't last long. Well, it's up to Doomsday, because that's what's leasing. It's up to Batman Doomsday. Mm-hmm. It's up to that. If it do good, it might stay good. Because the White Knight is like $40 right now.
Oh, okay.
$40 or $30.
How long ago did that come out?
That came out about, I want to say, probably like, not $30. I think it was like $20. But it came out on in early October.
See, you know, I don't know if you remember the 90s.
Yeah.
When books would come out and then a week or two later, the price was so overly inflated.
Yeah.
That's what caused the comic book industry to collapse. Because, you know, books were coming out and everybody thought, you know, it all started with the Death of Superman book. And that was a high demand book that people didn't print a lot because they didn't think the demand would get out there. But it got on the news, everybody ran to the store and grabbed copies. So it was a high demand, and so that book jumped up in price right away. Then from there, you know, all these books was coming out with the special covers and special this, and you know, people were buying them thinking they were going to trade these books in one day to you know, retire to. And so because these books were selling out on the shelves, you know, the cost of them shot up, and you know, they would put out those special covers when, like, if you bought like 75 issues, you get a one issue of a special cover, which stores would immediately throw a high price tag on, like the Spider-Man 300.
300.
Yeah, which is the first appearance of Venom. That you know, that the regular book shot up, but that special cover, I mean, it was going like $300-$400. So, and then, you know, people started getting into, I'm not talking about the buy, I'm talking about retailers were starting to sell comic books and not knowing what they was doing. And then that shit just collapsed. And then, you know, all right, a book's worth $400. Who got $400?
Shit, hey. I was checking out some. You right too, because I saw the 500 cover of Nightfall, right. The 500 book of Nightfall, mm-hmm. for Batman.
Yeah, I got the issue.
I thought it was gonna be worth something, right? Mm-hmm. Pick it up, it ain't worth shit.
Right, because you know, a lot.
It ain't worth nothing.
A lot of it. You know what makes comic book valuable?
If it's graded, right?
No, rarity. Reason why books from the 40s and stuff are so high priced is because, and like back in the 40s and stuff, they used to print more comic books then than they do now. Like Superman would sell like over a million copies like every issue.
No more.
But you know, a lot of those comic books got thrown out when people grew up, and then the war, you know, because of World War II, and they needed the paper. And so they was like, yeah, donate your comics to the cause. So then that.
But you know what? Now I think we're. Do you think we're going back to like the golden age of what's the name? Of comic books or no?
As far as what? Sales or?
Or as far as like storylines?
I don't know. You know.
Because the Flashpoint, that holds up. That's still holding up.
If you say so.
The first Flashpoint book, that's cheap. But when it comes to the Martha, which one was that? I think it was 1, 2, and 3. All of them cost like over $100 right now.
Okay.
And that was like 8 years ago. So, or 5 or 7 years ago. So imagine like 10 years later, whoever's still holding that book, they at least gonna probably be like $400, $500.
No, that doesn't work like that.
It does it?
No.
Oh, shit. Listen,
I was at a con. And this was around the time that
At least it was $100.
Yeah. I think it was the time that either it might have been either Superman Returns or one of the early Batman movies. And they were screening it. And so you had to go to this panel, and they gave everybody three color wristbands. And after the panel, they announced what color won. And if you had that color, then you got to get on a bus and go see that movie. So the rest of us, they gave us a book that was worth $400 at the time, because it was thought to be rare, and it was a Jim Lee sketch drawing. But by giving out all those books at that one con, the price immediately dropped. Today, I still have that book. There's no way I believe it's worth more than $400. I don't even think I can get $100 for it at this point. I could probably get some money, but when you go to comic book stores and you got a $100 book, how much do you think they're going to pay you for that book?
If you got a $100 book, they probably like try to put you down like 70.
Nope.
How much?
It's going to be less than half.
Oh, no. I go somewhere else then. See, I'm a
seller. You're not going to another comic book store to get a better price.
Shit. I go right to eBay.
Okay, yeah. You can sell it to some. Listen, you can sell it. If you can sell it to somebody else and get the full price, great. But
I was a customer service excellent. I know how to sell somebody a damn card. Okay.
But comic book stores, they're going to give you less than half of what the book is worth, because they can't. No. They want to, the purpose of them is taking the book is so they can make money off of it.
Okay, what about do you have the original copy to Thanos Quest?
Yes, I do.
How much now? That's got to be worth something when before this movie is out.
I had to look it up in a price.
You got to look at that. That's probably worth something.
Well, that book
you probably got a couple $1,000 books.
Maybe. Most of my real expensive books is buried in boxes that I haven't opened up in years. Because those are the real early books. And like most of the books I have from the 90s, man, I couldn't even. It's not even worth toilet paper. Because most of those books from the 90s ain't worth nothing. Everybody ran out and bought books, and they're not worth anything. You try to sell them, they laugh at you at most stores, because it's like they have enough copies themselves they can't get rid of. Let alone
The Phoenix Saga ain't worth shit.
Which Phoenix Saga?
I was like, God. I think it was the first one.
That's the first worth something.
Oh, that's worth something?
Yeah, that was down in the 80s. I don't know how much it's worth. I don't think it's worth a lot, but those early X-Men books, they were always worth money. Like, when I first got into comic books, that Jerry Siler's X-Men number one was already pushing $100. Because they were, it was rare. And everybody wanted it, and then subsequent books came out, and I was buying like issues going backwards. I got as far as I could afford, and I made it up to the issue where Jean Grey turned into the Phoenix. But I wasn't able to get any books before that because they were just too much out of my price range. I was gonna say, like, at the comic book store I go to, if you bring in a box of comics, you know how much he'll give you?
How much?
He'll give you a nickel book unless the book is worth something. And then he'll calculate, how much he'll give you for the book. And he'll probably give you like 30% of what it's worth. Depressing, isn't it?
Oh, hell no. Nah. Do that. I won't be able to do that. That's why everybody go on eBay.
Well, you can have a backyard.
eBay, Amazon. I'd rather do that.
You can have a backyard sale too,
Oh yeah, and you know what? I'm on this. I'm on this. What's the name? What you call this little comic book group thing where everybody's, you know, trade and sell and shit.
Right.
I'd rather do that. I'm not going to no comic book store and handing in something that I had for like 10 or 20 fucking years, and they only give me like $1 or $2. I'm just not.
Well, if the books ain't worth anything, it's not worth anything.
What if it's graded though?
What do you mean graded? Like
what if it's graded?
Like sealed in the plastics graded?
Yeah. What if it's like graded at like a 10?
Okay. The book still, you know, the grading of a book doesn't make a book worth anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it adds to the value. You know, if you got Spider-Man number one and it's graded 9.8, yes, that makes the book super valuable because it's a rare book in fantastic condition. And but you know, the average book rate is a 10. Doesn't mean anything.
Oh shit! Then a quest only worth $160.
Well, for which issue?
For one Thanos quest.
No, I mean it was two issues. Which one is it?
Okay, Thanos quest, the first one is only worth $160. Well,
that's a lot more than what I paid for it.
Mint condition.
Right.
And if it's graded, they say it'll be like $3,000.
Okay, well, that's a lot more.
And then I'm gonna show you two. Two was $40 in raw value.
Mm-hmm.
But see, if you go on Amazon or eBay and type in Thanos Quest, it's probably more on there.
Well, you know, eBay, people try to get a lot of money.
People try to get over
it,
yeah.
But if it's just sitting there and nobody's buying it, then what's it worth? You know, they could buy your book off of you. A comic book could buy your book off of you. If they can't sell it themselves, now what?
Oh, no, you know, man. Me.
See, that's why I miss the old days. That's why I miss the old days of
comic books. What pisses me.
Go ahead.
What pisses me off is these damn. Is I'm getting all these comic books right now. Hopefully, they worth something.
Listen, don't buy books for the value. Buy it for the love.
Well, I'm buying some of the books for the love. I think I'll never sell the White Knight.
Buy books for the value.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean,
you never know.
Nobody.
Most of my books I bought for the love. But like Secret War Omega, it's a good book. I haven't even read it. I just bought it for the value.
Yeah, listen. That's always a... Listen, nobody knew that the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was going to be worth a lot. But it came out. It was a rare book. Because they didn't print a lot. It was an independent book. And then it became popular and they started printing more. Sharp and bright. Nobody knew that The Walking Dead number one was going to be worth a lot. But it became super popular fast. But...
Okay, I bought like... Okay, what's that name of... God's Complex. I just bought that. I bought it for the love because I love the book. I love the comic. I read the comic. I love it.
That's all you should be buying them for.
But Wars, Secret Empire, or whatever you call that, Omega, I bought that for the value. There's some certain things I will buy for the value.
Okay.
The value of things. You can always play both ways.
That's
how I look at it.
You should buy it because you want to read it. If it's worth something later, then it's a bonus. Because, listen, when I was a kid, you know, a number one book would come out, and I'd buy like 5-6 copies thinking I'll read this one, I'll save the rest, and it'll be worth it one day. And some of them are worth more than what I paid for them if I was to sell them. If I was to sell my first new Moon Knight number one, my first She-Hulk number one, because, you know, I bought multiple copies of those things. That's what you did. They were, comic books was 25 cents. You'd buy more than one issue. It was the first issue, thinking that was going to happen. But
I buy it for the love, but I also buy it for the value. It ain't nothing wrong buying for the value.
You know, that when X-Men number one came out in 92, and it was Chris Claremont and Jim Lee, and they came out with six different covers, and people went crazy over that book. And the books ain't worth the amount you pay for it, because it was so many on the market.
Yeah, but I don't know. I look at it different. You buy it for the love, and you buy it for the value. You buy something for the value. Oh,
Le'Veon Bell. Sorry, you know, I need to check my fantasy league.
That boy.
I got him in one of my things. But anyway,
that boy Surfer got Barbie got hell of shit worth thousands of thousands.
Listen, I got some books worth money, and I got some.
That boy Surfer a billionaire.
Yeah, I wish. I got books worth money, and I got books worth ain't worth nothing. It all equals out. Let me go over these news items real quick.
Okay.
The X-Men Dark Phoenix filming is wrapped. It's a wrap. You looking forward to the next X-Men movie?
New Mutants. I saw that.
No. The regular X-Men, the Dark Phoenix film.
Yeah, I'm looking towards it.
I'm not, because I don't think they're gonna do a good job with Dark Phoenix. Because they're setting up a character without any context.
Hold on. This Phoenix was done right, though. You got to admit it. It was done right.
I don't know that.
It was done right. This Phoenix was done right in the movie.
I don't know that, because I've only seen her once. She hasn't.
I'm talking about how Phoenix look. I don't care. I'm talking about how the Phoenix physically looked.
I don't know what you saw, because I didn't see that in the last X-Men movie. I saw a little.
Oh my gosh! You didn't see the Phoenix come out like if it was the cartoon Phoenix.
No. I saw what they was claiming to be the little Phoenix flame come out of her, but. That's not what
you didn't see the whole Phoenix bird come out of her as if it was in the X-Men cartoon show.
I saw that flame was supposed to be the Phoenix bird, but to me it was not what the Phoenix bird is. And
okay, time out. First off, people don't look at the comic book Phoenix. People look at the Phoenix, the cartoon Phoenix. So that's what Phoenix was so popular back in the 90s.
They never got the cartoon right all the time either. Now,
but everybody goes off. Well, people around my age goes off that.
Now here's
goes off that Phoenix.
Here's what I'm saying. Okay, so she's been in one movie. Why would she become Dark Phoenix?
She shouldn't. I think they wasn't gonna name it. Wasn't they gonna name it X-Men like Neo or something like that?
I don't know.
I think they're gonna continue the story and then probably do Dark Phoenix.
Let me ask you as a comic reader, what do you know about the Dark Phoenix?
Well, I never read the Phoenix, the actual Phoenix saga in the comics, the original. Mm-hmm. What I have done, I have read Phoenix. I have saw the Phoenix cartoon, and that's what I go off of.
Okay, so, you know, Jean Grey, she was trying to help the X-Men get home from outer space. She was using her powers. The Phoenix Force came by, took her, recreated her body, put her in a cocoon. That was retconned later. But everybody assumed that the Phoenix Force witnessed Jean Grey, and she became the Phoenix. And the Phoenix were, you know, good force, but from that point, the mutant mastermind was manipulating her mind and corrupting her.
That wasn't in the comics. I mean, that wasn't in the TV show.
Because he wanted her to get her as part of the Hellfire Club, and they wanted to make her the Black Queen. And it got to a point where it worked, and she became manipulated enough that she became.
That did happen, but they called it something else.
Right. So
Mastermind is a part of the. Okay, they did call it. It did happen in the TV
show.
Right.
So, but
just after, like that.
So after the X-Men, you know, fought back, the Hellfire Club and so forth, Jean Grey was still corrupted by that, and she turned into Dark Phoenix.
And because she found new powers, she found
she found freedom. But the thing was, she hadn't done anything horrific until she went out into space and consumed a star, which in turn wiped out a Shi'ar planet. And that was the event that made her a danger to the universe.
And the Shi'ar wanted to kill her.
She had to be stopped.
Yeah.
And of course, when she confronted the X-Men, Xavier supposedly stopped her, made her turn back into regular Jean Grey. The Shi'ar showed up, they put her on trial, and then they fought to save her. But she started to turn again, and she killed herself.
Yeah.
The reason why I don't think this is going to work, because you're just saying that this person has these abilities of the Phoenix Force already inside of her. That makes no sense. The Phoenix Force is a cosmic entity.
Hold on. You don't have to start from the beginning.
Let me finish. You have to set Jean Grey up as a character, and then you have to show her being corrupted. But her powers of being a Phoenix shouldn't just manifest themselves because you're just saying that she's powerful. If this cosmic entity does not come for her, there's no reason why she would turn the Phoenix. That's what they did in Last Stand. They just said she had this altered ego calling herself the Phoenix Force that Xavier supposedly locked away.
You know what they could have do, and I think they're going to do, because I used to go to school for movies too. What they're going to end up doing is they will end up like doing flashbacks. What I'm thinking they're going to do, X-Men Neo, that's what I'm calling it. They're not going to call it Dark Phoenix. And I think that's how they're going to set up.
They're going into the Dark Phoenix storyline. They've been wanting to do this over since X-Men Last Stand.
Okay, so that can just go to flashbacks. Ain't nothing wrong with that in the beginning, because the story going to be about her. So they can just go to flashbacks to say, they can go on to flashbacks of how the Phoenix Force came into her. That's easy.
Yeah, I doubt they're going to do that.
Just do a flashback. I bet you they will.
Okay, we'll see what happens when a trailer
drops. I bet you they do a flashback when she a kid, and the Phoenix she was like, 12, and the Phoenix was always in her, like, going to flashback. She's somewhere, Phoenix hit her, something, some other shit. She gets her power, some other shit. You know, it's flashback.
I'm telling you, I'm on record. It's not going to... They failed the first time. They're going to fail this time.
Oh, no. I love the X-Men, man. Apocalypse
was such a disappointment. Listen, I loved First Class, and I think Days of Future Past is probably the best of all the X-Men movies. But they dropped
first
the ball.
Class.
Okay, look.
That's the best.
I'm not going to argue with people over which of those two are the best. Because some people still hold on to X2. And some people still...
Okay.
No, X2 was real good. X2 was... And some people hold on to the very first X-Men as being the best. But, I'm going to say this again. When the X-Men do a more grounded storytelling, it works. When they try to get all global... Like they did in Last Stand and Apocalypse, that's when it falls apart.
Okay, what if they... See, the thing that needs to happen is, if I was them, I would try my hardest for Marvel to get in touch with them and work some type of deal with them and let Marvel take over.
Fox is doing that.
I know.
You a Tron fan?
Tron? Yes. No. I hate Tron.
Because I love Tron. Jared Leto was confirmed to be involved with Tron 3. And I don't think that... It was supposed to be coming out. I don't think it's supposed to be coming out now. Are you a fan of Akira?
Yeah, I hate Toriyama.
Yeah, but
hold on, Seth. I'll be right back.
Well, let me tell you people out there listening about Akira. You know, they've been trying to do an Akira movie for a long time, and, you know, the fans of the property didn't like the fact they were going to make it in New York, and they were going to whitewash it by putting white characters and keep the Japanese name on these characters. And Leonardo DiCaprio was supposed to be attached to it. But it says here, I hope I pronounced his name right, Takiki Watiti is in talks to potentially direct the Akira, and he's going to cast Asians in the major roles. And of course, he is the director of Thor Ragnarok, coming out in a couple weeks. Can't wait for it. And you know, Akira was a classic Japanese manga, and it came to the States, and they colorized it for the books, and it's about a 30-issue storyline. And of course, they made it into an animated feature, which, of course, you know, depending on where you live, you can catch it at midnight at some showings, and it is available on video to watch. You know, by post-apocalypse Neo Tokyo, and people developing powers and so forth because of radiation fallout. And it says, what does it say? He confirms that he would not whitewash or Americanize the cast, preferring to cast Asian actors in the role of Kanata in Tetsu, and so on. He said, yeah, actually, Asian teenager would be the way to do it for me, and probably no names. I mean, sort of unfounded, untapped talent. Yeah, I probably want to take a bit back more towards the books. Mr. Hightower, you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
So, do you know about Akira?
Yeah, it should be, yeah, that's one of my favorite movies, actually. My niece's name is Kara.
But you never read the books, right?
Watching the movie.
Okay, well, you know, they've been talking about doing live action for years. And, you know, they're going
to... You got to do a Chinese... Well...
They're going to white... No, it's a Japanese story. But they were going to whitewash it. They were going to put it in New York. They don't want Leonardo DiCaprio was involved at one time. And they
I mean, well... But if you look at the... If you look at the cartoon... I mean, if you look at the anime... It doesn't really matter.
It does matter.
No, it don't.
They're in Tokyo. It does matter.
Just put it in America.
That's whitewashing it.
Okay, whatever. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Akira, the story altogether, it looks like an American story anyway.
No, it was a Japanese manga. And then, you know...
I don't know. It could be freaking, by all means, it could be black.
No, people wouldn't like that either. You know, that the fan base was complaining that they was going to make this movie and Americanize it. And they didn't want
that. But that's the fan base. I don't give a fuck.
Well,
that's one thing I don't care about.
Who are you making it for if you're not making it for the fans?
I'm making it for people that like the story. Any character,
the fans.
When it comes to film, any character can play. Okay.
See, that's what Hollywood have always messed up when it come to comic book characters. It's like they get a property. Now there is a set thing about that character and the characters around them, and Hollywood thinks.
Okay, how you feel about Domino then?
Hold up,
come on now.
Hold up, Hollywood thinks we can just change this to what we want, and what, you know, they always say, well, we try to make it mainstream. But if you don't start with that base and then work your way out, then you're gonna lose the fan base. And at the same time, you're gonna make a movie that the rest of the world is not gonna care about. Now you just asked me about Domino. You're assuming that they cast a black person as Domino, right?
No, they didn't. Well, they cast, like, they probably just picked her, right? because she was probably right for the part, right?
No, but
she probably read the character.
Let me finish.
Read the comic book.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
So what is Domino's nationality in the comics?
She's like she's Chinese.
Okay. They never said
she looks Chinese.
They never said she was.
Don't know her nationality. Never knew
correct,
her nationality.
Because it's not like she has normal Caucasian skin. She has white, pale skin. So she could be Asian. She could be Caucasian. She could be black or African American. She could be Hispanic. We don't know. They never made it an issue about her ethnicity.
I just don't get why people debase the people be so mad. And you got it now. If the kill was like an anti,
why the base is what now? So mad about what? About her or
everything? So, no. Just when it comes to nationalities, people get real mad, but people don't fucking think. And I'm going to break it down to you right now. Akira, if it was an indie, like if it was like an indie company doing it, like somebody like an indie company, not that big, then I could see them doing that. If there's a big like person like WB, Marvel, Disney, or any of them doing this, of course it's going to be whitewashed. Y'all should know this by then.
Yeah, but
stop complaining about
because,
it. As long as some of them are fans and some of them have saw the movie.
Listen, if you don't complain, then they're just going to keep doing it. And that's the thing. The movie that came out earlier this year, they did that. It flopped.
Okay.
Nobody saw what? Ghost in the Shell. They whitewashed it. It flopped. And then they did something.
They really didn't whitewash it. The only white person that played the rest of them was Chinese stuff.
That's even more insulting. You can put other ethnicities.
Who can you put in there?
Listen.
Let me take that back.
You can put other ethnicities in the background, but your lead has to be white. That's where the insult comes in. Like,
I don't know.
That movie that came out about Moses a few years ago.
You talking about the Moses movie?
The one with Christian Bale. He played Moses. Now, what was
he played Noah, you mean?
No, that was somebody else's Noah. He played Moses. They did the whole Ten Commandments over.
Oh, that was good.
Okay. But here was the insulting part. All of the lead Egyptian, they were white, and everybody standing in the background was black. And that was insulting to a lot of people.
Yeah, that was insulting, but you know how Hollywood is.
Right, Hollywood. Hollywood needs to change. You know,
it's not going to stay Jewish forever, okay?
It's not about Jewish running. They assume that white people will only come out to see other white people. And if that white people ain't leading it, they're not going to go see it. That is why Black Panther is important as a movie, because if it doesn't make a lot, then they'll say, "See, nobody's going to come out and see a all black
cast." It's going to live up to the hype because I know the director personally.
I'll have him call my show then. Hook that up.
I know that guy personally.
Oh, look! Drop a line. Say, "Look, I got a buddy wants to." Bring you on the show. Come on, do that for me, buddy. Listen, we have to say something. If we want diversity in movies, then we got to speak up, and we can't just let them take all these properties and just change it around just to fit into somebody in the Midwest thinking that that's the only thing they're gonna go see. And if you think that, then of course they're never going to change their way of thinking anyway. If they don't see other cultures in a positive light, if all they see black people doing is being criminals and drug dealers in films, and then they don't really know any black people in real life.
That's understandable, but I'm talking about like Chinese, like anime movies. Look, it doesn't matter.
It does matter. All black. It doesn't matter.
What if they class a black dude to be a Kira? Would you get mad?
Yeah, I probably would think that was wrong too.
I wouldn't.
How you gonna cast a black person, give him a Japanese name? I know an actual black person with a Japanese name.
You know, there's black people that live out in some dark skinned Japanese people out there.
I know that too. But that doesn't change the fact that the characters in Akira were all Japanese, and they should stay that way.
The best Japanese actors don't speak English. Probably
there's plenty of Japanese actors.
Come on now,
there are plenty of Japanese actors that speak English.
Okay, we could probably get a couple of Japanese Americans out.
That's what you cast.
I just feel,
and there are Japanese that can speak English that live in Japan. Don't assume that any English speaking Japanese person have a heavy accent.
I know that. I live in California. I see them every day.
Okay, well then, you know.
I'm just saying.
Join with me, my brother. Stop coming up with excuses.
When it comes to certain, I'm just saying, when it comes to certain movies, like Akira, I think any nationality can play that.
No, I don't think that. A lot of people don't think that. A lot of people want to see it like authentic.
See a white person, you know, 7 years of playing a white person getting them beat. Now that's stupid. Like, that's real. Akira is fantasy.
Okay, but
all these superheroes are fantasy.
You have to look at the rules of Akira. You know, it was based on Japan, which is the only country that ever had nuclear weapons dropped on them in the entire history of nuclear weapons. And that's not going to work.
They can make up a story.
That's not going to work in New York.
Well, I think I'll make it to Hollywood before y'all do, because I'll just start a grave.
Oh, my brother. I got to send you back to the factory. Yo, dude. You need to see Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. If it's playing,
I heard it was good.
It's very good. It's one of my favorite movies this year. I did a review earlier on in the show, so you can listen to it.
Is it more like a documentary?
No, it's a biopic.
Oh, it's a biopic?
Yes.
Okay. It's about how he made Wonder Woman?
It's about his life, you know, because he had a wife, both had a lover. And, you know, the relationship they had, the three of them, plus, you know, it did lead to him creating the Wonder Woman. But, you know, he was a professor and everything. And, you know, until he started writing Wonder Woman, he was writing books that nobody wanted to read. And he had these ideas about, you know, submission and so forth. And then they got the bondage and everything. And, you know, all that stuff plays out in the comic book, so.
Oh wow, it does. A question: did Stan Lee ever work with DC?
Who?
Stan Lee, or he always been Marvel?
No, he did a series for DC. Okay. It was all the major DC characters: the Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. If Stan Lee created them. And it's out there. So he did a mini series on single issues. But he did a Superman story where he changed Superman. He changed Batman. Instead of Batman being a rich orphan white kid, he made Batman into a black man who went to jail.
A black man?
Yeah, he was black. He went to jail. He wasn't supposed to go in jail. He gets out. He amasses makes a fortune, and he becomes Batman.
Oh shit!
You know, he does his take on Wonder Woman and so forth. I can't think of what they was called, but yeah, he did do that.
I'm gonna look at that. And then one more question too, because you probably know that. Didn't you say or somebody said, I don't know if we got that, they turned like it was like a comic book where they had all they had all superheroes in DC that was black, like Superman, Black Man, Batman, Wonder Woman. Like they had a comic book series where all the characters.
Well, Marvel did a series where Egypt never lost its.
That's what I was talking about.
Lost its power in the world. So yeah, most of the heroes at that point was black. It was Black Captain America. Instead of Thor, there was a black Egyptian god in his place, and Storm was an Avenger. And
what's the name of that comic?
I can't think of it right offhand.
I've been trying to find that comic for the longest.
I'm going to go a couple more stories before we end this.
Gore Verbinski,
I always say his name wrong, is in talk to direct Gambit for Fox. They've been trying to do a Gambit movie for a while. It was supposed to come out like last year originally, but they never got around to it. And of course, Channing Tatum wants to.
First of all, Channing Tatum, what?
Well, he's from New Orleans. He's always wanted to play Gambit.
Can he talk, though? Can he?
If he's from New Orleans.
No, he can.
If he's from New Orleans, I'm assuming he knows the New Orleans accent.
Yeah, he can. Because he did it in, what's the name? That one movie. What's the name of that damn movie? The Statesman? Kingsman?
No, that wasn't just a southern accent. That wasn't That wasn't a New Orleans accent. But he's done other movies. He did Logan Lucky, where he had like a southern country accent. So Netflix ordered Michael B. Jordan superhero drama Raising Dion. You know about Raising Dion?
Oh, what's that?
Well, they came out with a trailer like last year in a comic book where it's about this woman whose son has superpowers and her trying to raise her son right so he'll become a hero one day. How do you keep him out of trouble? How do you raise him over the fact you have this all powerful child? And in the trailer they had what's her name? What's the name does the voices for the Boondocks again?
Regina Washington. Or Regina something. Yeah, Regina King.
Yeah, she plays the mom in the trailer. But it was made into a comic book, which I never found, never read, and would like to. But now they're making it to a TV show.
Oh, shit.
For Netflix.
Oh, for Marvel?
Yeah. Now, the trailer.
Oh, this is a Marvel story.
No, it's not a Marvel story.
But Marvel involved with it?
No.
Who owns the rights to this comic book? Nobody? Like, Indy?
Well, I think Michael B. Jordan is going to produce.
It's an indie book.
And he's going to star in it. In the Black Panther. But I'm looking forward to what they'll put together. It's going to be a 10-order issue of the first season. But no release date has been announced. And you can, if you go on CBR.com and find the
comic book?
No, the article. You can look at the trailer from. It came out like a year ago for the comic book. Yeah. I'm going to give you a link in Skype so you can look at it when you get a chance.
Do you think they're going to have a comic book that comes out with it?
The comic book already came out.
Oh, it already came out?
Yeah.
I want to know who made it, though. I want to know who published it.
I don't know. That's why I never saw it in the stores, and I would like to.
Well, it could be. I'm about to see who did it because I think I got an idea who probably did it. Yeah. If it's about a black family,
it could be. It could be Image. It could be Dark Horse. I don't know. It could be IDW. I'm not sure. Well, I certainly have made up for being off the air for 2 weeks. And I'm ready for dinner. You got anything else you want to discuss real quick? Or
you said what?
I said, is there anything else you in particular wanted to discuss real quick?
Because not it. Mm-hmm. Have you been watching Gotham?
Yes, I've been watching Batboy this season. And
yeah. And where's the Joker? Is the Joker in there?
No, they have not shown no Joker.
So, Jerome.
No, Jerome has not shown up yet this season.
You mean the Joker?
No, I mean Jerome.
Let me stop messing with you.
I know you're messing with me. Now, okay, so Bruce Wayne, you know, he wants to run out and beat up on people, and he don't know what he's doing, but he's trying, and Lucius Fox gives him a little suit to keep him safe, keep him from getting shot and shit. And, you know, Ra's al Ghul seems like he's the main baddie for this season. He did show up last season, and I was happy and impressed with the fact they actually had someone from the Middle East playing Ra's al Ghul for the first time, as opposed to an English man or a white person. You know, remember Dr. Bashir from Deep Space Nine? Hell, did I lose you?
No.
Oh. No,
I haven't.
You don't remember Dr. Bashir from Deep Space Nine?
Nope.
You never watched Star Trek Deep Space Nine? You never watched that, huh?
I was always watch Next Generation.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he's Indian, so he's playing Ra's al Ghul. He's supposed to be. He's not Indian on the show. He's supposed to be Middle Eastern, and you know, first he was trying to influence Bruce last season, until you know, Alfred got killed.
Oh, they killed Alfred?
Yeah, but they brought him back with the waters from the pit.
Lazarus Pit.
Yes. And
have they so is Rajar Darter in there?
No Talia.
Batman, Levy, Damien.
Penguin's running things. The Riddler, he was frozen on ice, and now that he's thawed out, his mind doesn't work right. He can't solve or create a coherent riddle. And
Falcone, where's Jerome at?
There's no Jerome yet. Falcone's daughter has come back to Gotham to try to take over from the Penguin because Carmine Falcone's like, look, I'm out the game, I'm retired, I'm staying down in Florida. You leave me the hell alone.
So his daughter came back up there trying to rule.
Yeah, she wants to, you know, take over the business.
Because I barely watch it, I think I might start to catch up again. Who is what's the name, girlfriend? What's his name? His girlfriend? Who is she?
Who's what's your name?
Well, fuck, bro.
You talking Gordon. About Gordon? Oh, Gordon. Well, yeah. No, Dr. Thompson, she got corrupted last season from this virus. But she's been cured. And she does all these things where it's like, oh, I got to get out of Gotham. And she did that in the last season after she got cured. So she hasn't come back to Gotham yet.
So who's Harley Quinn? No, I ain't Harley
There's
Quinn.
There's no Harley Quinn. Barbara Keene is still around. Actually, she was killed last season, but Ra's al Ghul brought her back to life.
Who is she supposed to be?
Barbara Keene.
But who is
she? She's
like,
no villain. She's Barbara Keene.
She's no known villain?
No, not to my knowledge. I don't think one day she's going to be Poison Ivy. They already have a Poison Ivy. She's not Catwoman. They already have Catwoman.
So they have a show, No Sign of Joker.
No. There's been guys that they supposed to make you think maybe he could be the Joker. Like, in the first episode of Gotham, there was a guy that was auditioning for Fish Mooney. He was a comedian. He was on stage. And it's like, oh, that could be the Joker. But there's been no Joker, and there's not going to be a Joker.
I think there is at the end.
Yeah, Jerome may be the closest thing, but he's not going to be the Joker. He's going to be Jerome.
I think they're going to pull out a Joker like somebody around Bruce age.
Well, Jerome was close to Bruce age.
Who cares? Gotham fucking sucks just because of that.
Well, I don't know if it's. I think people still watching.
When they're Batman, you have to have a fucking Joker. I don't care. That's why they having. That's why they making a Joker fucking movie.
Thor trailer's on TV. The Thor commercial's on TV.
Thor? Oh, I can't wait to see that.
I can't either.
But I'm rooting for Justice League, though.
I hope it's good. You just don't know if it will be.
Hope it's good, too. I hope nobody don't fucking trash it, though. Like they literally do.
Look, if it's not a good movie, man, you don't just praise it just because it's DC. And it's because it's Justice League. We all want a great Justice League movie. Unless you're just a, you know, hater. But,
yeah.
You know, I was hoping that Batman, Superman was going to be great. And I just sat there and was like, no, this ain't it. This ain't it.
It was all right.
Boy, what else are we talking about real quick? I can't think. There's something else I wanted to go over. Yeah, Star Wars Rebels coming back on. Oh, yeah, Gotham. You know, Butch is going to become Solomon Grundy.
Who?
Butch.
Butch?
Yes. Butch was killed off last season. But he's going to be Solomon. Oh. Like, his real name was Solomon Grundy's real name.
Oh, shit.
So, he's coming back as Solomon Grundy. And I think it's going to be in a week or two.
Okay.
And Vertigo's coming back in August of 2018. Did you watch The Gifted yet?
The Gifted? No. And I'm not.
Why not? Did you use an X-Men fan?
I'm just not. I'm not interested.
Well, I watched the pilot. I thought it was good. I haven't watched the second episode yet. I need to watch before tomorrow's episode come on, but... You know, I was stuck there waiting for that Star Wars trailer, so I didn't watch it. So I wasn't able to watch all the shows I usually watch on Monday. You know, I got to watch the wrestling, I got to watch Supergirl, now I got to watch Lucifer, and now The Gifted. So it's a lot coming on at the same time on Mondays for me.
Yeah, I really don't. I really keep it on Raw, really. On Mondays, I don't watch nothing on Mondays like I used to. And just then, be Raw.
You know, Ghosted is coming on tonight. You watch Ghosted yet?
No, I'm watching stuff like The Deuce, HBO's. Like, that's HBO Have My Night, HBO Showtime.
Yeah, that's about the porn, right?
Yeah, The Deuce, yeah.
Yeah, you nasty mother... No,
The Deuce, The Ballers... Game of Thrones. Well, Game of Thrones
is supposed to be taking place in New York.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty good, man.
You know,
it's
New York. Like, you go to Times Square now, it's almost like a Disney World with all the lights and stuff they got up there and all the stores. But you know, back in the day, it was porn city. It was just not all those lights that was lit up was porn joints. They got rid of it too, man. Just before I became old enough to appreciate that kind of stuff.
They got rid of it.
All the porn joints in my city. They just got rid of them. I'm like, yes, I'm a grown man now. Time to lose my virginity with porn. Gone. Out of the city. Courthouses and hotels in its place. It's like...
I got one more thing to talk about, too. It's pertaining to Star Wars. Do you think we're gonna get a gray Jedi?
What's a gray Jedi?
You never heard of the gray Jedi? The gray Jedi?
I don't. Gray or great?
The jet. Gray. Gray.
What's that? Somebody does light and dark.
Somebody does light and dark. Yeah. Somebody.
Yes, I think that's what this. True. I think this is all what this all is about. Actually,
it's about yeah. Because like even though they didn't say it, Obi-Wan Kenobi. His master was a gray Jedi.
No, I didn't get that.
He was.
I didn't get Qui-Gon. Look at it again. Qui-Gon was a great Jedi.
He was a great Jedi.
But here's my thing. This is just my personal belief.
His thoughts was of a great Jedi.
Because like the Jedi teach you, stick to the light. Don't ever think about the dark. And then it causes this imbalance. See, I always thought there is no two sides of the Force. It's just the Force. If you just use it all, then you're cool. But, you know, Anakin could have been one of those guys that used both sides, but he just got consumed by the dark side only. And I guess Luke was supposed to be that one who would be able to control both sides. But I think it's going to be...
But he didn't.
I think...
He went good.
I think Rey and Kylo Ren, they may be the ones that can, you know...
Did it have babies?
We haven't even discovered they related or not, let alone...
They're not related. I'm thinking we're getting the Obi-Wan. I think this is Obi-Wan daughter.
Okay. Well, granddaughter. It had to be a granddaughter.
Daughter. Or granddaughter.
Dude! Yeah. Ray's like...
He can have a child of older age.
Listen. Ray is not that old of a... Ray's in her early 20s. Obi-Wan has been dead longer than 20 years.
And we're about to find out who... Well, I don't know if you play games, but Battlefront 2 is going to be a canon story.
Okay.
So...
Everything is canon since Disney took over. But
It's going to be a canon story, so I'm hella excited about it. So... we might find out
Captain Phasma.
Captain Phasma. I think we're going to find out who she is.
But I think she's going to get more screen time in the movie. It looks like Pittsburgh telling KC, you're taking the L today. They just scored again after KC scored.
That's why I'm glad what's the name out.
I got him on one of my teams, so.
I'm beating Tony ass. He 4-0, though.
Who's 4-0? Oh, good, beat him. I need somebody to take a loss. Cause he don't know what he's doing. He's just blocking out. Anyway, let me tell y'all about the other shows here on Rantian Radio. Cause this is a daily show. Tomorrow you can listen to the sports report. You know, we were just talking about football, but if you want to know more about football and other sports, the sports report will be on tomorrow, 11:15 p.m. And Tuesday, you get the double dose of the brain. You get a doubleheader. You get the Shiny Wizards live at 7, and you get the Rant live at 9. So you get all kinds of wrestling and other stuff, too. Thursdays, you know, you get the Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. And then Friday is Turnbuckle Throwbacks, where they teach you about the old wrestling, you know, teach you something you didn't know before. And then now that we're back... We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. the What Are You Reading comic book show. And I believe there's a pay-per-view next week, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who's hosting it yet and whether somebody's going to host it. It was
probably you.
I did mine. It's time for somebody. You know, William did one. You know.
Probably Double A, because since it's the Shield coming back.
Well... Why don't you host one? Anyway. Well, I appreciate you calling in, you know. Made the show. You know, I get to that stimulating comic book conversation with someone. And this is what the show's about. Talking comic books with people. Not just me sitting in and reading news stories. But, you know, you actually calling in and talking about comic books and storylines. And what you like and what you don't like. And that's what I appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
And that was my dream. So I wouldn't have to read all the comic books. I can have somebody else tell me about what they're reading. And then I know, and I can act like I'm smarter than I actually am. It was a plan, and I still got that plan that's going to work. That, you know, that I'm a comic book expert. But, yeah, go see that.
Why you don't just keep up with the DC Rebirth? It's some good storylines, man.
It's money.
Man, throw that Marvel shit a piece of shit away. I'm telling you.
First of all, Thor is the best comic book being written out there. I'm not giving that up.
Oh, yeah. No. Thor good.
Who else? Jean Grey. I really like Jean Grey.
Avengers is getting better.
Avengers? No. I haven't been paying attention to the Avengers. I've been really paying attention to the Inhumans.
I like the new Wolverine. I was reading the Hulk, but I'm probably going to get it with the Return to Planet Hulk storyline. I get the old man Logan. I like that.
And they're going back to this legacy thing? I don't understand that.
That means they're going back to the old numbering.
Oh, okay. That's all?
Yeah, and then like a lot of characters that were, you know, replaced by someone else, they're going to take back. Like Steve Rogers, he's going to be Captain America again. And Sam Wilson going back to being the Falcon and that kind of stuff. And
well, you need to get on DC, man. DC got a lot of good storylines going in right now.
Listen, I don't doubt that. And, you know, I told you I'm going to read the Doomsday Clock. Because that's going to lead into the return of the Fantastic Four.
Ooh. That'll be a good pickup. Nah.
Well, see, the thing is, everybody thinks that Reed and Sue and the kids, they're dead. They don't know what really happened. Only the people that was in the ships that survived the collapse of the multiverse knows what happened on Battleworld. All they know is, they don't know nothing about Battleworld or Doom running things. And so, you know, ever since they came back, they just think that Sue and Reed sacrificed themselves to save the universe. And Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm, that's what they think. That's what they believe. And no one's told them the truth. And it's hard to tell people the truth because, you know, it's hard to tell them. Like, Spider-Man remembers, Thor remembers, the other Spider-Man remembers. Because, you know, they lived through Battleworld as their original selves. So all those people, they're the only ones that remember what happened.
Okay.
Doom remembers. I think Thanos remembers and so on. And maybe Galactus, I'm not sure about him, but
I'm going to have to look more into this Doomsday Clock.
Right, so they don't know that Reed and Sue are out there recreating the multiverse and then they're exploring them.
Oh, sure. Because
at the end of the Legacy number one, you know, you see the kids, you know, they're entering another universe, but Valeria, she's ready to go home. I guess she figured, look, we've been out here long enough. I want to go back. So, I hope they age the kids some, too, when they come back. Like, who's to say that they haven't grown up while doing all this? So, that would be wise. But anyway, well, that's the end of our show, people. And I thank everybody for tuning in. And I'll be back next Sunday. Same surfer time, same surfer station. For another episode of What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. Mr. Hightower, say goodbye for everybody for me, please.
Alright, y'all.
Alright, so I'm out. Peace.